The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord appeared, opened the prison doors, and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes on earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's rest. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel today, Jesus says something three times. He says, "Peace be with you." It's the will of the Lord that his disciples have peace. But it's worth pondering what he means by his peace. What the world typically means of peace is simply not overt hostility. The world takes civility for peace. It takes external things is all that matters. And that's not all terrible. We can't always control what is felt on the inside, but we can control our actions. Maybe we aren't really at peace, but civility might allow time and space for it to develop. Maybe we aren't really at peace, but a cold war is better than a shooting. At an individual level, maybe we aren't at peace, but good fences can make good neighbors. But during the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples that, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The peace of Jesus is not something that is meant for the external world. It's not about civility over actions, but the peace of Jesus is about our troubled hearts. In our text, I think we can see this play out in two ways. The disciples are hiding inside behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus does not show up to negotiate civility with the people who had just crucified him. Jesus shows up inside those locked doors to his disciples and says, "Peace be with you." And Jesus does three things to tell them what this peace means. The first thing he does is he shows those disciples his hands and his side. Jesus shows them his wounds. And instead of these wounds being the source of mourning or of pain, John tells us that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He is risen. Those wounds are no longer signs simply of death. Those wounds are no longer the source of fear, but they have been transfigured. It's by those wounds that we have been healed. It's by those wounds which once claimed him in death that death has been defeated. We might be cowering in fear inside because of the wounds the Jews or the world would inflict upon us. But here, we see their eternal effect, which is temporary, which is slight, slight trouble compared to the surpassing glory of the resurrection life. Disciples were glad when they saw those wounds. Death could not hold him. And the one who has overcome death wishes to us his peace. We are given this peace from God for a purpose. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Nothing has changed about that world outside. The Romans that crucified Jesus are still out there. The Jews that are presumably looking for them are still outside. The kingdom of Christ is still not at peace as the world thinks of that. And it never will be. The kingdom of God always has something to say to the world that the world doesn't want to hear. The kingdom of God is always saying something uncivil to the kingdoms of this world. The ambassadors of Christ are always breaking the world's peace. But they are doing so. Because that is what they're sent to do. The kingdom of God is not at peace as the world sees it. But it's that internal peace that comes from the sure knowledge of the love of God. And that knowledge that our eternal standing has been secured. And that leads to the third part of this peace. Breathing on those disciples, Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And tells them, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it's withheld. Why the disciples are sent is to proclaim that kingdom. And the first proclamation of the kingdom is repent. This is the deep foundation of both our internal peace and what might remain our external war. The peace is founded on his forgiveness. The wounds have paid the price, and we are forgiven. God has forgiven all who repent. God has declared his peace with sinners. He's declared peace with all who believe in the work of his Son. But it's that very call to repentance that might bring our external problems. Because just as the entire world did not listen to Jesus, they did not want his peace or his kingdom, it still really doesn't. There may be times of civility between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of Christ, but we shouldn't confuse civility with the peace that we have from God. Until those kingdoms have become His on that last day, they will never like being reminded that they are not supreme, that they are under the authority of Christ. Proclaiming repentance is both our peace and our strife. Now, Thomas exemplifies and repeats this. He exemplifies this in that the disciples are sent and they go out and they find Thomas. And they are in conflict with Thomas. And Thomas tells them what he has to see. In fact, Thomas goes beyond seeing. Thomas gets graphic, which our translators just gloss over. But he's like, unless I thrust my fingers into his hand, unless I thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe. Now, we don't all get the physical encounter with Christ that Thomas did. That is part of the reason for the saying, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. But this is always the foundation of our peace and our true internal peace. That foundation is faith in what Good Friday means, and faith in the reality of Easter. These are the foundations of all disciples for that peace that passes understanding. If Christ did not pay for our sins, then they're still ours. And if our sins are still ours, we can have no lasting peace with a holy God. Those sins will chase us to our graves. But those wounds, as testified to by the apostles and their word, as testified to by the Spirit that lives in you because of your baptism, His wounds have paid for our sins. And if Christ is not raised, we are most to be pitied, because our faith then would be in vain. Death would still have been triumphant. But Christ is risen. He lives among us every day. He lives here in these sacraments. He lives in our hearts. And it's not only through faith that we can receive this peace. Or it is only through faith that we can receive this peace. That's what Thomas expresses when he says, "My Lord and my God." And this is what John, the writer of this, wishes for everyone who is reading his gospel. Jesus did many other signs and wonders that aren't written, but these are written. And he's written these not for gossip, not for a fantastic story, not for any external reasons, but John has written these that we might believe. John has written these that we might see the wounds and be glad. John has written these that you might have the peace of Christ and be sure in your forgiveness. John has written these that you might have life in His name. And that life is not one of hiding behind doors for fear, but that life is putting off that fear and being sent. We are sent as representatives of the peace of God. We are sent to test and to see the proof of our faith. God does not take away our conflicts, but in the midst of those doubts, he makes the trembling heart fearless. In the midst of conflict, we learn to live peace. We come to understand the true nature of the peace that Christ has given to us. John has written these things that you might have life. And that life is not just for a short time, but that life is eternal life. Christ is risen. And you who are baptized into him will likewise rise. We can have the peace of God now because it has been secured in that not yet. What we do not see fully yet, or what we can only see by faith, has been secured by his resurrection. And it's that resurrection that we live. This is our peace, knowing that God has secured us whatever comes. His wounds have bought us peace, and he wishes us, his disciples, to live in that peace. Amen.